The Little Match Girl by Angela Slatter. The walls are a hard patchwork of rough stones. In some places, there's the dark green of moss, birthed by moisture and the breath of fear. In others, there's nothing but black. Soot from torches has gathered so thickly that I could scratch my name into it if I knew how to write. The floor wears scattered straw for a coat, stinking and old. No natural light comes into this place. There's not even a window. The aperture bricked up long ago so no one could flee. And it stinks. The waste bucket sits festering in the corner. I haven't seen a mirror in weeks, so I conjure my face in my mind. Pale skin, green eyes, black hair. Almost against my will, I superimpose the marks of my stay. Dirty smudges on the skin, the eyes red-rimmed, the hair a storm cloud of filth. I try to smooth the ghostly suffering away, try to see my 18-year-old face as it was, but it's no use. I'm forever marked. I close my eyes, tightly. In my hand, a weight. A matchbox, silver and hard. Inside are four matches with the power to show me the moments when my life turned, when doors opened and closed, and my path changed forever. I open the matchbox and strike the first match. The first match. My mother died at my birth, cursing aloud the blood-spattered bundle that cost her life and her man. I never knew my father. He left when he found his lover beginning to grow round. My grandmother, strangely unperturbed by her failure as an abortionist, told how she drew me from my mother's death and wrapped me in cloth, crooning that she would teach me all I needed to know. She taught me herb lore and human nature. She showed me how to heal a rash, draw the blackness from a wound, and identify the people who would help or hurt us. We lived in a series of tiny huts, in small villages in need of a wise woman, moving on when something went wrong, when a potion didn't work, when a child died, when cattle stopped breeding, when a wife caught her husband looking sideways at my tall, handsome grandmother, and later at me. Probably six villages in my life, but they meld together, like wax melting in the flames of a fire. My grandmother also taught me that we all had a fate. Some of us, she said, are water, but others are fire. Then she laughed. Only problem is, you don't know which you are until they come for you. But I knew. I always knew. Children of water are dunked, children of fire become ash. When they came for her, she found that she was water. She screamed as they tried her and tied her and fed her to the drowning pool. She had sent me away, telling me to hide in one of the bigger towns, a city perhaps, somewhere I wouldn't be noticed. And it was she who told me about the rule of matches. The second match. I stand naked at the window watching the snow fall, white as mother's milk, white as my skin, white as bones. Clean and pale until it hits the street, then corrupted, grayed, darkened. Of course I love you, I say. I turn to face him, his bulk distending the sheets, a big man, his belly like that of a pregnant woman, his cock at half-mast under the expensive linen. Tonight is a good night, a lucky night. I'm not on the street, in the snow, with my breasts icy globes and my hair hard with ice. I'm warm. The holes in my shoes don't matter. The tears in my dress mean nothing. I give him a smile, my best and brightest, and move to the four-poster bed. Hands, fingers thin as matchsticks, reach for the sheet and draw it away from him. He blushes a little. I start at his feet, his toes in my mouth, then my lips trail up his legs, tongue leaving a silvery saliva as it passes. Then the cock, the core of him, meets my lips and another match ignites in my mouth. This is how I keep warm. This is how I stay alive. No wishes to save me, no good fairies or bright angels to watch over me, just the little match girl with a cunning mouth and a tinderbox between her legs. The third match. I need to see you again. His words seemed to be my saving, my escape from cold, dirty streets. A man in need, a man who will protect what he covets. A man I can hold with the firm grip of my lips and my fingers. A man who sought me out and settled me in a little house, small but pretty, with a tidy handkerchief of a garden and primrose walls. A man who paid my bills and kept the bed warm when he could escape his wife. A man who wasn't cautious enough when caught in the grip of the fever I roused in him. His wife reported me as a witch. I had to be a witch to pry her husband away, didn't I? A whore was forgivable, but a witch was not. A witch was competition a wife could not bear. They put me on trial. I admitted to nothing but giving my favors unwisely. My lover, my keeper, my protector, crumbled like a poorly built wall. He wept in the dock, swearing I had bewitched him with my eyes and held him with my lips. Confessed what we'd done, that I'd done what no self-respecting wife would. The eyes of the men in the court turned to me, bright with fear and loathing, warning and want. The judge was an older man, a serious man, a widower of several years. He was like the others and kept his desires like shame and his wants like sin. He packed them away in darkened rooms where they grew fat and lush as mushrooms, covered with shit. He said he would need to consider his judgment. I was to wait in prison, yearning for my primrose walls and a handkerchief garden. The fourth match. The judge comes to me, and each visit ends the same way, with hard flesh and cries, with slick bodies and heated breath. The last time is the worst as he pushes me against the wall, my face scraping against the stones, blood seeping through the skin. This is my judge, my jury. This is my executioner. As he slows and shrinks, he says once more, "Say you confess, say you repent, say you will be a good girl and all will be well." I am silent. When I raise my eyes to his, he sees the dark blood on my face and perhaps the shimmer of red behind my eyes. He raises his hand, adding a mark to my skin, fluid staining his palm. He backs out, whispering my name with a fear that makes me smile. If I were a witch, I would strike him down. If I were a witch, I would fly from this place. If I were a witch, none would stand before me. Alas, I am only what I am. I drop my eyes and see what he has left behind. A matchbox, silver and hard. Now there's only one match. The judge offers salvation if I confess, if I lie, if I beg. I kick the straw into a mound. I pull the filthy covers from my bed and add them to the kindling. I stand on the small mountain of my unmaking. I take the last match and strike it. It lights with a spit and a crack and burns up merrily at me as I crouch, touching it gently to the tinder. I refuse to be saved. I am the little match girl, and I will burn.
This has been a presentation of Pseudopod, which is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. Find us online at pseudopod.org.